Rahmatullah, were there humans before Prophet Adam alayhi salam? And what was the meaning of life before Adam alayhi salam? It's a central question which you see discussed in Christian circles, you see discussed in Muslim circles, and importantly you see discussed in many scientific circles. Meaning that there are a number of scientists who seek to look at the narrative of religion and see whether the narrative of religion is one that has a basis or not. Now don't forget, when we live in London or we live in Europe, we need to understand that we live in a society which is just about recovering from the clash of religion and science. When I say just about recovering, someone might say to me, Sayyidina, it's been a few hundred years since the first clashes between religion and science. There are many who became disgruntled with the church because they felt that if you opposed any of the discussions in the book of Matthew or the book of Luke, or you were a scientist who had a different opinion from what the Bible said, automatically you were thrown to the gallows. Why is this the case? At the end of the day, I need to understand the formation of this world. This earth, I see the formation of it, and it takes me back, for example, 4.5 billion years. And I think of the Big Bang, and I go back 14 billion years. I, as a human being, have every right to try and understand the cosmos, and have every right to understand everything that can be seen and that cannot be seen. At the end of the day, I'm seeking to understand where I came from, where I am now, and where I'm heading. As Imam Ali alayhi salam used to say, may Allah have mercy on the one who knows from where to where. Each and every human being has every right to ask the question about their origin. And so Christianity had a major clash that eventually led to people sidelining it. If you look at Christianity today, barring a fundamentalist streak, which you can find in any religion, you can find in Islam, you can find in Hinduism, you can find in Buddhism, a lot of Christians now virtually give in or acquiesce to whatever society feels is the norm. Because they know that for a certain period of time, the clergy were not allowing science to breathe. For us as Muslims, however, I think we always enjoyed discussions concerning science in the Quran. We always loved discussions concerning what the Quran had to say about embryology, for example. What the Quran maybe had to say about the Big Bang. But we all knew one thing, that the Quran is not a scientific book. Nor does the Quran claim to be. It claims to be hudan lil muttaqin, a book of guidance for those who want to be God conscious. But we never saw, when we were growing up, I don't know if you all would agree with me, we never really saw a major clash when someone brought a scientific discussion from the Quran. You actually enjoyed it. And we always, while medieval Europe and Christendom was attacking science, we were always on the forefront of discussions concerning what wisdom you gain from science, what later would be called philosophy in many circles. And we were ready to hear what Avicenna had to say. We were ready to hear what Averroes had to say. So the likes of Ibn Sina and Ibn Rushd and Farabi and others, we used to thrive on their discussions of medicine, of the natural sciences. But one thing we cannot deny is that from a young age, we were always taught the first human ever was who? Adam alayhi salam. We all accept that. I'm sure we've all answered a question at school, be it, you know, a Saturday school or a Sunday school. Who was the first creation? Who was the first human being on the earth? And what would we always reply? Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Maybe even Yasser and Haider in their quiz show, maybe you guys even have your moments where you might turn around and say, the first human on earth was Adam alayhi salam. Central question here is Nabi Adam alayhi salam the father of the current generation of human beings? Or can we say that he's definitely the father of this generation, but not the first Homo sapien? Because normally that's what we refer to. We refer to Homo sapien, don't we? We refer to the Homo sapien. And now the question arose, that is Nabi Adam alayhi salam, is Nabi Adam alayhi salam the first human on this earth? Someone says, Sayyidina, listen, I don't mean to be rude, but I don't want to say this too loudly. Fossils are indicating that there were creations before Adam. So we've got a problem. So what problem do we have? He said, because as Muslims, we seem to date Nabi Adam alayhi salam back to about 10,000 years or so, let's say. Yep. 6 to 10,000 years is the dates that we date him back. And we certainly know that Christianity is looking at what? Christianity is looking at taking it back to who? To about 6,000 years, 7,000 years, 10,000 years, 12,000 years. Of course, as a Muslim, I've never seen anyone who wrote Nabi Adam, born on, died on. Do you agree with that? No one has ever said Nabi Adam was born on this date or died on this date. But let's be realistic. Between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, and Nabi Adam alayhi salam, let's say there's 30 names that are normally given to us. Even between us, let's say I'm Sayyid, for example. Me going back to my Holy Prophet, let's say there's 30, 35 names. So let's say that whole time period, you're not looking more than 10,000 years. A friend of mine goes, they've discovered a skull of a Homo sapien in Kenya, 2.5 million years old. While we see it as amazing, there's a problem. Because then how does the Adam story fit in? Some Muslims want to open their mouth about this, but we Muslims became like the church. That if somebody asked a question like this, why do you have these atheist questions? But what's atheist about this question? It's a fantastic question. Even tomorrow when we discuss evolution in the Quran, we'll try and look at whether we can find a reconciliation between Darwin and the Quran. But when we're looking at this question, I see someone say to me, Sayyidina, do you know in Siberia, they found that mammoths, they found, for example, the teeth of mammoths, dating back 1.2 million years. I do also sometimes wonder when I do tafsir of what teeny was Zaytun. A teen goes back 80 million years. You know, the fig tree goes back 80 million years. And it's very interesting in that surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be reminded of how he's guided every one of his creations. But the teen goes back 80 million years. And the Zaytun is the tree of life. The olive tree is the tree of life. But we'll discuss evolution more tomorrow. The point here is, could there have been humans before Adam alayhi salam? Because if fossils are telling me one thing, do I hold on to Quran? But the fossil is telling me something. And that's where the main point has to come. Islam has no problem with a human being going into science and revealing God's secrets. What's the aim of science? To reveal God's secrets. If science, of course, with a disclaimer, has got no moral conscience, you don't mind putting a bomb in the middle of the Far East and not caring who dies. But it needs to be with that conscience. Prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged us to reflect, to study the natural world, not just to focus on the spiritual and mystical, but sometimes spirituality comes through reflection of the stars, as the Quran always is telling you, or through the skies, or the reflection of water. It's trying to highlight that, listen, don't be an enemy of science. But I turn around and I'm like, hold on a minute, the story of Adam and Eve is only taking me back 10,000 years or so. And I'm finding a skull 2.5 million years ago. I'm finding the teeth of a mammoth 1.2 million years ago. I'm finding that in a cave in Bulgaria, for example, they'll find, I don't know, they'll find in a cave in Bulgaria, or even certain carbon dating. You see people who have carved things in walls and painted and drawn, and that's 40,000 years ago. So then the question arose, when we look at the Quran, have we really understood the verses to mean that Adam alayhi salam, as intended by the Lord, was the first human on this earth? Or was Adam the father of the current generation of humans, but not the first Homo sapien? And I think if you look in the Quran and look at the traditions of Ahlul Bayt, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim, you will come to a conclusion that Adam alayhi salam was the father of this generation, but not the first human being. Now, someone says, Sayyidina, show it to me Quranically. So let's jump in. And where I want to jump in from is firstly a spiritual angle before I get to the whole idea of physical human. Surah 7, verse 172 is one of the most interesting. And I'm going to give the following titles to it. And I want everybody at home to please go to it. Surah 7, verse 172. I'm going to say this is a mystical ayah. I'm going to say it's a spiritual ayah. I'm going to say it's an ayah for theology. I'm going to say it's an ayah that takes you to the very heart of your existence as a human being. Because when you go to Surah 7, verse 172, what you're seeing in this is you're seeing an interaction that I can't remember. Can you remember? I don't think any of us can remember. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took forth from the children of Adam alayhi salam, from their backs, their descendants. وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And he made them bear witness upon their own selves. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. شهدنا أن تقول يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين. Do you remember this? I can't remember it. When did this happen? God brought us forth, us, the children of Adam, from and our descendants, and he made us bear witness upon our own selves, am I not your Lord? And we supposedly replied, yes, we do bear witness. Do you remember? How do we explain that? All we really need to know is that somewhere in the formation of what we know as the human being, sometime when were we just particles? Can particles comprehend? We certainly know that this ayah is always called the ayah of Alam al-Arwah, or Alam al-Dhar, or Ayat al-Mithaq, or Ayat al-Ahad. This ayah, this verse 172, some call it the beginning of the arc of descent. That the first interaction isn't that I give in and go where everyone else is going. Homo sapien, who's the first? No. First, it seems within my primordial nature, I already had an interaction with the Lord. Some say, Sayyidina, is that deja vu? Maybe. When I see something, I'm like, where have I seen this? Some say, is it sixth sense? Maybe. Some say, is it Plato and recollection theory? I recollect this from somewhere. This soul of mine precedes my body. I recollect something divine. The beginning, therefore, for us as humans, isn't to straight away look at how we're created or the possibility that there were humans before Adam, but first an understanding that even when we were just in a world of particles, atoms, souls, there seems to be an interaction between us and God. Can you remember it? I can't. But should we ponder over it? It seems that every human being within their fitrah, there is this recognition of Allah. So I don't want to throw the human straight into the current discussion of human, which is, maybe a random set of accidents that came together and, it's done quite well, this human being. No. For us, there's a much more mystical presence. There is actually a discussion between us and the Lord. And it's as if there's, while there's a descent occurring, there could be an ascent back to the divine origin. But this ayah by itself requires many discussions. But all we can see beautifully from this ayah is we have two worlds now. The world of the malakut and the world of mulk. The world of zahir and the world of batin. The world of shahad, the world of ghaib. This ayah has taken me to malakut, to batin, to ghaib. Where the homo sapien or the human develops will be in the world of shahada, the world of zahir, the world of the mulk. You see how Islam as a religion wasn't meant to simply be about what time is iftar and is the moon sighted for Eid. Islam as a religion took you back to your very origin. The way science wants to know, did the earth get formed 4 billion years ago and the Big Bang was 14.5 billion years ago? Islam wanted to tell you, let's take you back even further. When they were just particles, the Lord already had a discussion with the human being. Where's the first trace that Adam is not the first human? Where's the first trace? Go to Surah 2, verse number 30. And I think that many of you at home, my dear brothers and sisters, I think that many of you know this ayah. And you all are going to know where I'm heading with this ayah. Because this ayah, there's a part of it that everybody always asks me about. God has appointed the Khalifa on earth. Who appointed? Who? God appointed. We agree? Shura appointed? No. Saqifa appointed? No. Three, four people appointed? Six people in a house with the fear of being executed appointed? No. God set the precedent from the beginning. You human are not to be trusted with who you appoint. You're going to appoint your best friend. You're going to appoint the one who looks after your interests. I appoint the caliph on earth. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels. There's a conversation between God and the angels. He says to them, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I'm appointing a caliph on the earth. If God is just, he wouldn't leave the human being without an exemplar of how to reach God, of how to talk to God. Do you agree? Even if the community is going to be made up of four people, there has to be a Khalifa. And for the beginning of mankind, how then would the most important message of mankind, does the most important messenger leave a community to elect? Only Allah knows. But we have to use our aql. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah says to the angels, I'm sending a khalifa on the earth. قَالُوا. Oh, angels are going to reply. And this is very interesting. Because on the one hand, it's beautiful dialogue. But on the other hand, there's a problem here. Because how dare you? They normally don't ask questions, do they? They've got the intelligence. There's no doubt about that. They're not robots. But normally it's submission. قَالُوا. أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. God says, I'm appointing Adam on earth. Adam is supposedly the first ever human created by God. But the angels seem to know something here. They say, are you going to send someone who causes mischief and bloodshed while... Listen, we've got a right. Listen, we got a right to reply here. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ. Look, while we're the ones who are doing what? We sing your praises, Ya Allah, we're the angels. Why can't we be khulafa? And if you don't want us to be khulafa, then why have you made, or are you going to send someone who's going to cause mischief and bloodshed? How do they know? This is the first human. How do they know the human being can cause mischief and bloodshed? How would you know, O angels? How does an angel know that a human can cause mischief and bloodshed? First point. Some said that the reason they ask God, are you going to send someone who causes mischief and bloodshed? Adam? Adam, Homo sapien. Homo sapien, not good reputations. We probably still agree with them until today. Why? The first point, some said this has nothing to do with Adam being the first or not. Because if you look at the makeup of the human that the angels saw in front of them as clay without the ruh being breathed into it, when they'd ask God, what is that? He would reply by saying, human, what's the faculties of the human? Reason. Wow. What else? Imagination. Hi, Yasser. Imagination. What else? Anger, said Mahsin. And what else? Desire. We agree? When they looked at that, they're like, listen, this is going to cause havoc. Because if this creation that can get angry and that has an overwhelming passion and desire and has an imagination that can destroy man, this creation is going to cause mischief and bloodshed. Were they wrong? Haven't we seen some abysmal examples of how low you can be? Asfala, yeah, not even asfalal safilin. If there was an alif lam before safilin, then you'd say lowest of the low, the low. This is the lowest. You can't get nearer. No one comes nearer. There are some examples. Like you look at examples in our history, you see the likes of Fir'aun, for example. How low? No, 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 no. Not of the lowest. This is the meaning of low. You look at examples like Qarun. You look at examples like Yazid. You look at examples like this in the history of our religion and dictators who have nothing to do with religion. How many did you see disgusting dictators where their desires or their imagination or their anger overtook them? They were no longer human. Even an animal would look at them baffled by their behavior. The angels had a point. So the first argument was, Sayyidina, this has nothing to do with anything. It just says that they saw the human is made up of anger, imagination, desire. They said, look, this human is going to cause fasad. The other said, no, they must have seen a human before Adam. Because we know very well that amongst the most important people in this story is Satan, who we call Iblis. Now, how's Iblis got into the company of all these people? And you see these narrations that are there where seemingly on earth, you sometimes hear about the, you know, you hear about the Hin and the Bin, who were, you know, two groups who were living on the earth, and of them, the jinn destroyed them, and of the good jinn was Iblis, and Iblis was put in the ranks of the angels. You might find some ulama who believe that Iblis was an angel, like maybe the biblical version, maybe a fallen angel. Majority believe that he's a jinn. But it seems that he wins honor, according to certain traditions, it seems that he wins honor. Otherwise, how's Iblis, if he's a jinn, in the company of Malaika? Clearly, something's happened on the earth. The angels have seen on the earth. Now, we hear different things about there's a group called the Nisnas, and they're half human, half jinn. Let's just get to the point. The fossils are showing us that Homo sapiens existed 300,000 years ago, for example. 1 million years ago. Why do I need to go into all this discussion about jinn punching human or Neanderthal or humanoids or whatever you want to call them? Clearly, before Adam, alayhi salam, clearly there were Homo sapiens before Adam. Otherwise, the angel is not going to say in this line, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا. The angel, when they're saying this line, are saying it because they have seen Homo sapien before Adam. And they've seen that those guys were absolutely destructive. But those guys still had a language, farming, agriculture, and so on and so forth. Farming, agriculture, language, all of these. Do they start with Adam, or do we have evidence that these things existed before Adam? There's a big question here. Were there languages spoken that predate Adam? Let's go to Adam talking. What language is he speaking? Go to Surah 7. My dear brothers and sisters at home, join me. Surah 7, verse number 20. Well, there's a whole conversation anyway, from verse 20, probably 1 onwards. Where are we? Yeah, you see Adam. The Adam, Eve, Satan story is all either in Surah Al-Baqarah or Surah Al-A'raf, okay? And in Surah Al-A'raf over here, we've got Adam speaking. Now, what language he's speaking in? It's got to be some ancient language, okay? Some might refer to it might be Syriac, older than that, Aramaic, something Semitic. Those languages predate the Adam that we know. Okay, I know that some will say even Adam maybe spoke Arabic. We can see it here in Arabic. The reality is many of these languages that are related to Adam predate. You're going back hundreds of thousands of years in some cases with some of these languages. So the very fact that when I'm looking at Adam and his conversation, for example, and the reply from Iblis as well, for example, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ, you know the famous lines that we've all read, and where he swears to them, very interesting in verse 21, people say, how comes Nabi Adam listen to Iblis? And it's very interesting, this verse, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. What's a qasam? Give me how an Iraqi would do a qasam. What would we always say? What do we always say? No, give me one a bit softer than that one. What's the classic one? Wallahi. Wallah, bro. Wallah, wallah, wallah. Qasam, of course, shouldn't be taken that lightly. But here, it's very interesting. Iblis swears. Very interesting. And so when Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam was asked, how comes Adam listened to Iblis? He said, because Adam has never met anyone who swears by Allah and lies. Of course, if he's in our communities today, many swear by Allah. Wallah! It's a chidbah. But he said, wallah. But in that time, who's ever said wallah? So it's very interesting, this ayah that Imam al-Baqir says that Nabi Adam looked at Iblis when Iblis said, by Allah. Nabi Adam said, I've never met anyone who lies by swearing by Allah. Then, of course, later on, Nabi Adam realized many people lie by swearing by Allah. But what we find over here is that even the languages that are spoken, if we're talking that Adam spoke, let's say a Semitic language, Aramaic, you're going back preceding the Adam that we know, predating the Adam that we know. Let's take it even a step further, my dear brothers and sisters. When we come to farming and agriculture, what were Habil and Qabil? Farmers, yeah. Because in the story, let's go to their story. Surah Al-Ma'idah, everybody at home, please. Let's go with their story. Open the Quran. Don't just look at me and make sure your kids are opening the Quran, because the next 10 years are going to be decisive one way or the other in terms of their belief in God. When we look in Surah 5, verse number 27 of the Holy Quran, okay, this is the story. You've all read the story, okay? Nabi ibn Adam, the son, the story of the sons of Adam. They both are having to offer a sacrifice because Nabi Adam alayhi salam has to appoint, or has to announce, I should say, a successor after him. Who appoints the successor? Adam or Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qabil's dying for it. Habil's like, whatever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of judges. The decision is made for them to do what? For them to offer a sacrifice. Look at it there. إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. They both offered a sacrifice. One of them, their sacrifice was accepted. The other, no. What were they both doing? One was offering a sacrifice maybe from his farm and the other from his flock. But we know that if we're looking at the first signs of agriculture, then they predate where we've put Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Meaning that the first signs of agriculture are before Habil, before Qabil. And when you're studying the fossils, you're finding that humans, or on this earth, humanoid, Homo sapien, Neanderthal, were already in the world of farming and agriculture before 12,000 years ago. Way before. Or 12,000 years ago, before Nabi Adam alayhi salam. So when I see that Habil and Qabil, I'm like, Habil and Qabil must be the first two on this earth. I realize that no, on the contrary. If there's farming, and we're saying they're the first two, but we found evidence that even before them, there were people who clearly had to survive on this earth. Well, how, what are you going to do if you're going to survive? You're going to find an animal, you might hunt, you might poach, you might do whatever. But that's predating Adam alayhi salam. So now what do we have? We have a situation here. Further than that, when he says to him, قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, Qabil says to Habil, what will I do? Kill you. قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Listen, brother, you've offered a sacrifice. I've offered a sacrifice. Allah accepts from those who are God conscious. It's not about whether your flock is nicer than mine or more expensive than mine. It's about the niyyah of what you give rather than how what you give looks like. Of course, some people use that as an excuse when they say it's the giving that counts. And then you see what they've given and it really shows that you've not really given much thought. It's the thought that counts, they say to you. Okay, that certainly doesn't look like you've given it much thought. Whereas here, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ means that my father's asked for both of us to offer a sacrifice. You've missed the point here. God maybe is not looking at the sacrifice, but the consciousness of his presence in what we're giving. Next verse, what does it say? لَئِنْ بَسَطْتَ, he's gone on a violent one. لَئِنْ بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ Alameen, you put forward your hand, my brother, to punch me. I will not put forward my hand to punch you. Not because I can't punch you. Not because I can't slash you. Not because I can't kill you. But simply because of the fact that I know that there is a Lord who not only I'm scared of, but I'm in awe of as well. Sometimes in life, Salat al-Rahim, when we're tested with it, it's not that you can't hurt someone. It's because you know there's a day of judgment where you're going to be asked about this. Otherwise, if it was our choice, you get the knife and you go and finish it off. But it's not. Islam comes to culture your animalistic instincts. Inni uridu an tabawa bi ithmi wa ithmika fatakuna min ashab an-nar. He begins to talk about the fact that you will bear the sins and the companions of hell. And what happens with his nafs? We all see the ayah here. That his nafs laid him to do what? قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ. He ends up actually killing his brother. فَقَتَلَهِ. He actually kills him. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. What have you gained by killing your brother? It's disgusting. So now in this situation, it's very interesting. We're told here, this is a bit of a debate issue, this point. Because we're told here, فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُرِيَهُ. What? He has to show him, لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ. So Allah sends a crow digging the earth so he might show him. Show him what? How to bury the brother. But what's interesting is, there's evidence that Homo sapiens have been burying for 100,000 years. So is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends this crow because this is the first person killed, so I'm teaching you, or because you are the father of a new generation of human beings, so now you're being taught the manner of, for example, how to bury. It doesn't mean just because he's learning how to bury that there weren't humans before this who were doing what? Who were burying. So when some people have used this before, they say, okay, look here, the first to ever bury. And if he's the first to ever bury, that means he's the first human to have been killed. But yes, that doesn't then negate that Adam is the father of this generation. There may have been Homo sapiens who lived in other parts pre-Adam alayhi salam, who also used to bury. Or maybe the method of burial, maybe here is the first where you learn how to bury somebody alone, whereas those would do mass burials of bodies in a particular area. Okay? So what do we have here? We have fossil evidence that takes you back way before Nabi Adam alayhi salam. The very fact that you have skulls that are taking us back how many years? Taking us back 2 million years. Mammoth teeth, 1.2 million years. Caves where people are drawing and writing way before Nabi Adam alayhi salam. That means that Nabi Adam alayhi salam surely cannot be the first human being. And that brings me on to a very interesting verse. And I think you'll enjoy this one, my dear brothers and sisters at home. Let's all go to Surah 15, verse 26. This Surah 15, verse number 26, I find it very interesting when I look from verse 26 to verse 28. But what I'm going to do today is with the respected Sada who are sitting in front of me, I'm going to want them to point out to me what they notice, okay? And I want all of you at home to look at Surah 15 from verse number 26 till verse number 28. I've got in front of me a number of brothers. I've got the cameraman. I've got a few people in front of me. And I've got all the viewers at home. Verse 15, Surah 15, verse number 26 till 28. I'm going to give you a few seconds for all of you to read verse 26 until verse number 28 so that you're able to help me. Hajj Mustafa Mas'ud sitting amongst us today. If he can read for us even loudly, verse 26, 27, and 28, just so that the other brothers are able to listen. Don't worry, the camera can stay on me because I know he's a very shy human being and he doesn't want the whole camera on him. But please, if you can read it loudly for us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ahsant. I want to ask the other three brethren over here and everybody at home. When you're looking at verse 26 to 28, they're discussing the human being, correct? What have you noticed? What, jinn before Sayyidina? Not necessarily. Keep looking at it. Everybody at home, verse 26, verse 20, there's a decisive moment for us in our epoch of understanding. What have you noticed about what God's saying? We created man of clay that gives sound, of black mud molded into shape. And the jinn we created before of intense hot smokeless fire. And remember when your Lord said unto the angels, verily I create man of the essence of black mud fashioned into shape. My dear brothers and sisters at home, focus on the Arabic more than the English. Because the English sometimes is giving you one word for two different things being said. I'm sure many of you at home have spotted it. Why in verse 26 talk of insan and verse 28 talk of bashar? What's the difference between insan and bashar? Bashar, if someone said to you, hada bashar, hada human. Hada insan, hada human. English will only turn around to me and say human or mankind. No. Insan, bashar. In the same verses about creation, there is a difference in who's the insan and who's the bashar. Is it because God's trying to point to us that when I speak of insan, I speak of the very first human created? When I speak of bashar, I'm speaking of the story of the father of your generation. Look at the difference between insan and bashar. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. Here, in verse 26, has it got to do with anything with the story of Adam alayhi salam? No. We're just talking very general. Because this is the ayah sometimes you hear in nikah ceremonies when we go to the mosque and there's a aqid, there's a zawaj, and you say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi khalaqa Adam min salsalin kalfakhar wa khalaqa. Don't we? We hear it in the mosques, in the wedding ceremonies. Here Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. الْإِنسَانَ. Insan, Homo sapien, going back 300,000 years, could not be Adam. There must be those who have come before us. Nabi Adam, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, this is huge. Sheikh al-Saduq has a book called Kitab al-Tawheed. The book is available in English. If I'm not mistaken, translated by Mawlana Sayyid Ali Radha Radhwi. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, do you presume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created only this world and that he has not created a mankind except you? No. By Allah, he has created 1,000,000 worlds and 1,000,000 Adams before you, for which you are the last of these worlds and the last Adam. Imam al-Baqir, alayhi salam. 1,000 Adams before Adam. In this ayah, it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَمْ مَسْنُونَ. Okay, tomorrow we talk about evolution. We try and understand the difference between the Darwinian worldview, Islam. Is there much difference? Is there little difference? Waljan, okay. Now, when I want to talk about your father, now let's talk about his story. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ what? بَشَارًا. Why not إِنِّي خَالِقٌ إِنسَان مِنْ صَلْصَال? Why is there a stress in verse 26 of Surah 15? وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَنٍ. We created man of clay that gives sound, of black mud molded into shape. But then in verse 28, Allah is saying, with qala rabbuka lil malaikati. Oh, I know this story. Allah is speaking to the angels. Inni khaliqun basharan. Bashar? Why not khaliq insan? And the insan, according to some, will refer to who? Will refer to those humans who came before Adam alayhi salam. So what is Nabi Adam alayhi salam? Nabi Adam, the father of this generation of humans. Either the previous could have ceased to exist, finished, and then he begins a new generation. Maybe. Or maybe there's some of them who continued living and takes you away from all that mess that you have. How did Nabi Adam's sons and how did we continue? For example, if there's maybe other human beings there and they get married to other human beings. Or Allah can just create other human beings and put them there. Because you know, you always have in our households, you know, Nabi Adam and Eve, and then they have Habil, Qabil, and they've got two sisters, and so they had incest and then we evolved. How could incest be allowed for then? Say, but Sayyidina, even it's in our Shia, I don't care if it's in our Shia tradition, ya Habibi, then they are being given a aql, you've been given a aql. This whole preoccupation of sometimes blind worship of what's written because I have to shut my brain? No. Incest is disgusting. Can't say that, you know what, at the beginning we had to have incest so that it continues. You know, changing the laws depending on what we feel like. Rather, you could say that there were humans there, or Allah can create humans so that procreation can continue. Therefore, these particular verses are fundamental because they differentiate between the insan and the bashar. And I hope that more people at home are able to delve deeper into this discussion about what is insan, what's bashar. Yes, Adam may have been our father. And yes, he is Allah's Khalifa on earth. But that in no way should mean that I, as a Muslim, become blind when I see fossil records show me that there were human beings that have come before Nabi Adam, alayhi salam. A question may be asked. If a human came before Adam, who was their prophet? The answer may be that there was a realm where the fitra meant that we had spoken to God. And if you looked around you and you saw a tree, or you looked around you and you saw the seas, something inside you from that mystical conversation that we had at the beginning may tell you that there definitely is a God. And that would be enough for salvation. Join me tomorrow when I continue with part two of this discussion, where we look at evolution in the Quran and the discussions concerning the development of the human being. Thank you all so much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.